We are joined by two of my favorite organizations, Crime Stoppers and the U.S. Marshals Office, Darlene Costanza, President and CEO, and Brian Fair, Deputy U.S. Marshal. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Darlene, are you there?
Hello. Yes, sorry.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks, Newell. Nice to be on the show.
She had me on mute. I'm sorry. It's okay.
I was taking a tip. Here. I'm sorry.
Hopefully, relative to Operation Boudat, it's something that has been going on for a number of years. Tell us about this year's experience.
Well, we have been such a, so honored to be a partner with the U.S. Marshals and their task force in this particular thing, Operation Boudat, which happens around this time of year because obviously it's dealing with non-registered compliant sex offenders. And we do have some other individuals on our spread this year, which we'll talk about later. But it's important that families and you know, the victims' families know that this not been forgotten, this person we're trying to bring to justice. And, of course, it represents different agencies, which I know Brian will tell us about the different agencies, but it's very far-reaching. And if anybody knows what the U.S. Marshals, do, I mean, they're the ones who a lot of times go after the worst of the worst. And I will say that the song, Bad Boys, I think also was made with them in mind because they don't stop. And we certainly appreciate that, Brian. You'll do an incredible job.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I've always said that the U.S. Marshals Office could find a tick on the ass of a donkey in the middle of the Mojave Desert. And I mean that with all seriousness because they have found people that we had difficulty finding for a long time. And I always appreciated their effort. Brian, tell us about what's going on.
Well, first, I wish that was totally true, the tick comment. We can find a lot of people, so we still have a few people that elude us. But with Operation Boudat, we've been doing this operation in some way, shape, or form since around 2009, 2010. Originally, it started as just a Halloween thing with compliance checks and a few warrants for failure to register as a sex offender. And then over time, it morphed into a fall thing. Now it runs fall and into early winter. Because there's quite a few targets that we have during the operation. So we devote more time and resources to going after these sex offenders that are in violation of the registry. We also work quite a few open sex-based cases, open rapes against children, against adults, etc. There's some domestic violence stuff mixed in along with other violent offenders.
So obviously, there's some folks that are still out there. Tell it, if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, there are a number of tiers as it relates to these individuals and how long they have to register for. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, sure, there are three tiers of sex offenders, and tiers are done by, I believe, either the Louisiana State Police or the Attorney General's office. And that classification is based on the offense that the person is convicted of. So a Tier 1 offender would have to register for 15 years. A Tier 2 offender would have to register for 25 years. And then a Tier 3 sex offender would have to register for a lifetime.
And that's based
no,
on
no, I'm sorry,
the severity,
on the
right?
Spread.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, well, it is definitely on the severity. And what I want folks to understand the serious nature of this, because on this spread that we have, and of course there's others that the marshals are going after, we have 13 Tier 3, which is lifetime registry that are registered targets that are non-compliant. And if people want to see the charges, I mean, all of this information is on our website, crimestoppersgno.org. But we're looking for folks who have some very serious charges against them. And of the targets that we have, 17 involve juveniles.
So give us some examples, Darlene.
Well, on here, and we looked through the list yesterday very carefully because some of the individuals have been non-compliant for a while, and there's two individuals actually who's been here, I think, Brian, probably 10 years, both wanted for one certainly with a juvenile rape. The second one was multiple counts of rape, and they are Brian Vincino, I never can say this, Angelita,
yeah,
and Elda Paz.
Angelita, yeah.
and Elda Paz has been with us, and that we're really hoping that some new information can come on. We also have an individual who's wanted for murder. He's not related with a sex offender. It's Lloyd Jones. And Brian, do you want to give a history on Lloyd?
Yeah, so Lloyd Jones is wanted for the alleged murder of his girlfriend in Jefferson Parish, and he also wounded her father. He also has several federal warrants out for him. He has a federal warrant out for him for narcotics distribution, as well as another federal warrant for violating his federal supervised release on another conviction. So we believe he's extremely dangerous. He could be anywhere in the U.S. He also may have fled to Mexico or Central America as well. But he's been a fugitive for some time. One of our best fugitive investigators has worked that case tirelessly, and just we haven't been able to get any info to locate him as of yet.
Lloyd Jones, date of birth 9/22/1977.
Correct.
I guess he was living in Jefferson Parish, right, at one time.
He was correct. Yes, he was living in Jefferson Parish. Had some domestic issues with his. I don't know if it was his girlfriend or estranged girlfriend, and basically did a home invasion at her residence, or is alleged to, where he murdered her and then shot her father as well, and then fled.
Now, you guys always have this around Halloween, and there's a good reason for that. Let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, just Halloween time is a time to remind people, while they're doing trick-or-treating with kids, that these people are out there, so you should be aware of them. You can't be like a ostrich with your head in the sand. You need to realize these people out there and take steps to protect your kids. There's certain things you can do. Go trick-or-treating with them, monitor their social media use, things like that. So it's just a good reminder. And, I mean, we do this work all year long, but we ramp it up during this time of year.
And then certainly you can register online with the different agencies. I mean, so the state police has a registry that you can sign up for to receive alerts. And I know Jefferson Parish has it on their sheriff's office has it on their site, but you can actually sign in to be to receive alerts when somebody who moves into your area, who's a registered sex offender, is living within a 3-mile radius. But it's important as parents that you receive this information so you can see the pictures and if you need to have that conversation with your child, you can have that conversation. And then again, these people are not supposed to be participating in, trick-or-treating. They're not supposed to have lights on their porches so that they're encouraging kids to come up. They're not supposed to be masked. There's a lot of things that to protect, the innocent victims from becoming victimized by these individuals.
The operation started October 22nd and will conclude on January 18th of 2025. Have y'all arrested anyone since it started, Brian?
Yes, we've had 5 arrests so far, and we currently have another lead out to Florida. I won't say where in Florida, on a New Orleans Police Department open case for a sexual battery. So we're at 5 currently, and that's it may not sound like a lot, but those 5, along with other arrests we're making every day, right now the guys are out working an active murder case. We picked up somebody else this morning for weapons charges for not appearing in court in Orleans Parish. So every day we're out there doing stuff. So like I said, we're just devoting a little extra time and resources to this area. So 5 currently, and we expect to have a lot more by the end of the operation.
And we actually just released our list yesterday, Newell. So for the citizens who are interested in seeing this information, it just went out publicly yesterday. And I'll say we got a tip in one of the suspects, and within less than 24 hours, the marshals had made that arrest. So it's incredible how quickly they respond, how they're able to do their jobs. And I guess the most important thing for individuals looking at the list, you do get a reward if you come through Crime Stoppers. So you're going to get $1,000 paid to you if your information leads to that arrest.
And they have the picture of every one of these individuals that are wanted. I did want to point out this is a collaborative effort between the U.S. Marshals Service, Crime Stoppers, the JPSO, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, Kenner Police Department, New Orleans Police Department, Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office, St. Bernard Parish Sheriff's Office, St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office. And importantly, somebody that we don't often talk about, but Brian, I'd like you to comment on it, and you too, Darlene, Louisiana Probation and Parole. And I used to love to partner up with those folks. They're really good at what they do as well, and they have certain rights to do things that traditional law enforcement doesn't, and it plays really a critical and integral role in going out and incapacitating these individuals.
So we've been working with Louisiana Probation and Parole since our task force started in 1999. We have an excellent relationship with them. They're very helpful. If the person's on probation and parole, there's other parameters that they're able to follow that we're not able to follow on other cases. as revolves to searches of their address and stuff or residence. But yeah, we've had an excellent relationship with them. They've made some great cases along the way since 1999 with us.
Absolutely.
And I actually was a former state probation officer at one point a long time ago.
Well, then you know, right? I mean, and it was eye-opening for me, and I should have known because actually my dad was a state probation officer for a short period of time back in the early 60s. And it was amazing some of the information that they had that we didn't tap into. And when we had developed our Criminal Intelligence Center, probation and parole came in, and it was just amazing some of the stuff that they were able to bring forward.
Yeah, the officers go out regularly. They do checks of the probationers or parolees, so they're able to provide intel on addresses, family members, things like that. It's very helpful in hopefully locating people.
So final thoughts, Darlene?
Just really encourage folks to pay attention to these searches, and you know, if they can go ahead and look again, it's crimecybersgno.org, or there's a link, I'm sure, from your show over to the Facebook page. We are featuring each individual, you know, during the week, a little bit more detail on each individual. But again, the marshals, what they do with this is incredible, and on behalf of the victims, you know, to know that these individuals are being brought to justice so they cannot be victimized again or new victims. It's incredibly important that we all be on the same team. So, again, U.S. Marshals, thank you so much. Thank you to all the task force members for making a difference in our community.
I think folks, Brian, would be a little bit surprised when they look at this list. They're going to find elderly people, mid-age people, young people, men, women. As I look at this list, I mean, it could be anybody's neighbor, you know, by the looks of these folks.
Yep, it's a wide variety of people that are on the list, and like Darlene said, several of them are actually wanted on open sex-based charges as well. Like Javier Cabrera, he cut off his ankle monitor the night before trial last October, a year ago, so he's been on the run for a while. We've been unable to locate him, but it could be your neighbor, exactly, anywhere. The person could move out the area, come back or something, so we rely on tips from the public and our partner agencies to hopefully capture these people.
And that was felony charges of first-degree rape of a child and indecent behavior with a juvenile under 13. So, you know, when we talked about this, yes, Brian, this is serious issues that we need to make sure that we bring to justice.
No doubt, for sure. Thank you all both for what you do, and we truly appreciate you coming on and sharing this data with us. And much success, Brian and Darlene, to this initiative. And thank you again.
Thank you for spotlighting it for us. Thank you.
All righty, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Got a couple of texts from people saying, why don't you go to the talk lines after your monologue? Well, we can. We do. So when we come back, you got something to say, let's talk about it. We'll be right back.